Well, this morning I continue the series that I began last month on, as we're talking about foundations, one of the most foundational creeds of the church is the Apostles' Creed. And today I'm going to be focusing on a very short part of the beginning of that creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. We're going to read from Psalm 46 this morning, which I know is a favorite psalm for many people. So listen for the word of God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar in foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in uproar, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How many of you have ever been to Walt Disney World? A lot of you. Do you have a favorite ride there? Which one? Space Mountain. Jonathan, you and I are the same. Space Mountain is also my favorite ride. And back when I was in seminary, I went to seminary right up the road from Disney, and I had friends who worked for Disney, so they would always sign me in for free. So I got to ride Space Mountain a lot when I was in seminary. When you enter Space Mountain, you walk through this winding corridor of darkness and space scenes until you eventually arrive at the shuttles that take you on your journey. And one time I was in line, and there was a father and son in front of me. The boy had barely met the height requirement to get into the ride, and that alone was reason enough, and you could really tell it, for him to not only feel very proud, but also very confident that Space Mountain was no big deal. So as we walked through these corridors, his bravery seemed to diminish as the darkness became more menacing. This young boy ceased to be as courageous as he once was. He grew more and more silent, and then he began asking questions that showed a growing reluctance to get on this ride. How fast is the ride, Dad? Are there really big drops? Do you wear a seatbelt, Dad? Dad, what happens if the seatbelt doesn't work? Dad did his best to dispel the boy's fears, but nevertheless, his steps grew more and more timid. The expression on his face revealed a doubt that wondered if he was going to get off this ride alive, and then came the moment of truth. Onto the platform, the boy and his father were invited with the next step into the shuttle that was about to arrive. And the boy froze, and panic filled his face. A tremble came to his lip. If it wasn't so dark, he might have noticed a tear. He wanted to be so brave. He so wanted not to let his father down, but there he stood, frozen on the platform. And so the father leaned over and whispered something into the boy's ear, and the little boy nodded his head, and with the last ounce of courage, stepped forward and sat in the shuttle. Immediately they were pressed in by the mechanical harness. The boy stared straight ahead into the abyss, and Dad just placed his reassuring hand on the boy's shoulder. And off they went. There they were, parent and child, child and parent, one of them not knowing what was going to happen, and the other knowing that everything, despite the darkness, despite the sudden drops, despite the invisible turns, everything in the end was going to be all right. They were going to get through this ride together. You know, we don't know very much about what goes through the mind of an infant child when they enter the world. Consciousness is not very well formed in those early days of our lives. All that we know is that we are cold or hot or hungry or need to be changed. And the only way these things are addressed is through an unmistakable cry. And if we're fortunate, there is a loving parent close by whose instinct it is to respond to our cry, to give us what we need. In the best of families, this is a relationship of trust and bond that continues until those wonderful adolescent years where children, despite the track record of their parents, all of a sudden see their parents as the least intelligent and the least trustworthy creatures on the planet. I'm told that our parental intelligence returns somewhere in our children's mid-20s. The area in between is the abyss. But there is something about that picture of father and son heading into the darkness that I think that Jesus had in mind when he taught us about his heavenly Father, when he taught us about God. Continually, Jesus refers to God as Father. Your Father in heaven, he often said. It's how he spoke of his Trinitarian relationship, Father, Abba, Daddy. There's something about this trust and bond between creator and creature that Jesus is trying to point us to. There's a yearning that Jesus has for us to see God as Father, the trustworthy Father, who is taking his seat in a car as we make our way through the darkness of the future. It's not that Jesus wants us to get hung up on gender identity, because of course, God has no gender. In fact, that would be far too limited of a view of God. And further, for those who have had a problematic or non-existent relationship with a father or a mother, this idea of God as father or God as mother may be too high of a hurdle for some to leap over. But at its very core, it seems that what Jesus would want to point us to is the trust and the bond, the belief. I believe in the God of heaven who unmistakably attaches God's very self to each one of us. And that attachment is meant to be all the best that a parent-child relationship can be. We are on this ride together. The opening question of the Heidelberg Catechism asks, what is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer is that I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That I belong. There is a bond. That's what we say when we say that I believe in God the Father Almighty. We say that we belong to someone outside of ourselves, that we're not in this thing alone, that despite the great anxiety of life that says to us that somehow we have to face this life all on our own, that we have to go into the darkness by ourselves, that the world is just a bunch of chance accidents and it's only you and whatever fate hands you. The child of God stands and speaks to this saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe that God in God's almightiness attaches God's self to me. That I don't have to go through this life thinking that my only sense of belonging is to myself, but rather that I belong to God and that God will never let me go. This is the almightiness of God. Not that God somehow orchestrates every moment of my life and every action taking place around me. That somehow God is responsible for the hurts and the hills and the struggles of life. We actually tend to create those for ourselves. Rather, God in almightiness says to us that no matter what the darkness may hold, no matter how sudden the drops, no matter how unexpected the turns, nothing can pull me away from God. It's a truth about life that we've all encountered in one way or another. Life simply isn't fair sometimes. Bad things happen to good people. Awful things occur to children and adults and parents that don't deserve them. We've all been witnesses to this too much in the news lately. God's almightiness is not about that. God's almightiness is about the love that God brings to us. God's almightiness is about the love that intercedes, the love that bears the same unfairness. That when the religious rulers mocked Jesus on the cross and they implored him to come down and save himself if he really had that kind of power, It was in that emptiness on the cross that God said, no, I will stay here to save the world. The love that promises that though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, we shall not fear. For the Lord our God is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Apostle Paul puts it a different way. He says, I am convinced, I am sure, I believe that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, this is God's almightiness. A number of years back when my kids were still quite small, we ventured into Rockefeller Center one Saturday before Christmas. It had been years since I had been there around the holidays, and I was not prepared for the mass of people. It was early evening, and we arrived on the opposite side of the street from Saks just when the light display started to play. Turning around to see the dancing snowflakes, my two relatively small daughters were next to me, one on each side. We were being jostled around by the shoulder-to-shoulder crowd, and it almost felt like they were going to get away from me in this crazy crowd. I immediately pulled them closer in front of me, hands on each of their shoulders as we navigated our way to the tree, and then off to one of the side streets, finally freed from the packed-in crowd. As parents, we protect our children. It's what we do for our kids. We hold them when forces try to separate us from them. We make sure that they are safe. But here's the better news for those of us who believe. This God, the one whom we refer to as Father Almighty, it's not about our grasp of God. It's about God's grasp of us. That's what it's about. God's grasp of us. Though the earth should change, though we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, though life hurtles us through the darkness, though rulers and powers may wish to separate us, the good news is that we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to our faithful God. I believe in God the Father Almighty. Amen.